Bible's in error, let's make a confession over the Word of God. This is my Bible. This is the true Word of God. The Word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this Word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Children can be dismissed for children's ministry. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. All right, this morning, are you at Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. Just turn me down the house speaker a little bit, please. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start with verse number 1. The Bible says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Somebody say in us. In us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? 2 weeks ago, I know it's been a long time, but 2 weeks ago, I started a message called A New Life in Christ. Do you all remember that? I know it's been a long time. A New Life in Christ. Amen. And in that message, I reminded us that because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do not have to take Satan's mess anymore. You all remember that? We do not have to put up with his lies. In 2026, the lies that we may have put up with in 2025 and before. We don't have to do that anymore. And the reason why is because we have a new life in Christ. Amen? Now, the life, the new life in Christ is not based on, just mute the organ, please. Thank you. The new life in Christ is not based on the fact that we have a new year. That has nothing to do with it. The new life in Christ is based on the fact that many people acknowledged what Jesus Christ did over 2,000 years ago. Well, what did he do? He died on the cross for you and for me, okay? He was crucified for you and for me, and he also defeated sin on the cross, and now he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And we acknowledge that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, okay? By receiving salvation. And if we have not received salvation, we can receive it today. It does not cost us anything. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So because we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and this is the beginning of a new year, we need to be reminded of the fact that as we continue to move forward in this new year, okay, as we continue to move forward in this new year, we must continue to have a greater spiritual thirst for God, which is our focus for 2026, have a greater spiritual thirst for God, okay, knowing that we have a new life in Christ, okay? Okay? We have a new life in Christ. Now, when I closed the message out over 2 weeks ago, it was a long time. When I closed the message out over 2 weeks ago, we had talked about verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. And I will give a little of a reminder of that. But we left off at verse number 4. Okay, verse number 4. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, it's connected to verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I hear some humming up here somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. Amen. But it's irritating. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. So the Bible says once again, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, the question is, what law? What law? Amen. What law is the scripture talking about in verse number 4? What law is it? Amen. And how is it fulfilled in us? Okay. How is that, Pastor? What law are you talking about? Okay. And how is it fulfilled in us? Well, if you recall, for those of you who were here, if you were not here, it's okay because I'm going to bring you up to date. For those of you who were here, if you remember, we talked about two laws 2 weeks ago. Okay. We talked about two laws. One of them is called the law of sin and death. And the other one is called the law of right here in the Bible, it tells us right here, the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, okay? Number one, the law of sin and death. Number two, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Notice one of them talking about death, the other one talks about life. Are y'all still with me? Okay, one talks about death, and the other talks about life. Amen. And the verse, the one that the Bible is talking about in verse 4, is talking about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, okay? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ. Are you all still with me? Amen. Now, before I move forward in talking about this law of the Spirit of life in Christ, I want to talk a little bit about the law of sin and death, just to bring everybody up to date, okay? Because last week we talked about this law of sin and death, and the law of sin and death reflects the Old Testament law, okay? It reflects the Old Testament law, and remember, notice once again, it's the law of sin and death, okay? How many know sin is not good, and we die because of sin? People die a spiritual death, and we also die a physical death because of sin. Because if there was no sin, no one would have ever died. Are y'all still with me? But the Bible says if we in Christ Jesus, we die no more. Because the Bible says if we in Christ Jesus, we can have everlasting life. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So the law of sin and death reflects the Old Testament. In other words, the law of sin and death exposed sin. If it wasn't for the law, Old Testament law, the people would not have known what sin was. We wouldn't even know what sin is if it wasn't for the law of sin and death. So as I've said last or 2 weeks ago, there's nothing wrong with the law. But the law of sin and death revealed to mankind that mankind could not do right on his own, needed help. It revealed that mankind could not do right on his own. Even today, we cannot do right on our own. We need help. Are y'all still with me this morning? And although the law of sin and death provided standards, okay, for the people to go by, okay, it provided standards, but it was weak through the flesh because the law of sin and death spoke to the flesh, not to the spirit. Well, why didn't it speak to the spirit? Well, the reason why is because before Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have life, before that, mankind was spiritually dead or spiritually separated from God. And the reason why is because of Adam and Eve's sin. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, I say it this way, when they sinned, you got credit for it. And that's what the Bible tells us in John, that we must be born again. How are we born again? By accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Y'all still with me? Amen. So although it provided standards, it was weak through the flesh because it talked to the flesh. Have I lost anybody? Amen. In other words, the law of sin and death could not give us the power to please God. Couldn't give us the power to please God. Why? Because it takes faith to please God. Not just any kind of faith, but spiritual faith. Okay? And the law of sin and death could not provide that. Once again, nothing wrong with the law. But it was good to us because it reminded us that sin exists, or those people out that were back there at that particular time. Y'all still with me? What it did was it verified or signified the control that sin had over mankind. Okay? It verified and signified the authority that sin had, which resulted in spiritual death and now physical death. I'm just trying to bring us up to date. Some of you were not here, but you can listen to the message on last 2 weeks on YouTube or Facebook, or you can go to the web page and listen to it on the audio as you're driving in your car. Amen. Okay? But see, that law, okay, was nothing wrong with the law. And Apostle Paul talked about that law in chapter 7. I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. It's one page behind you. One page behind you. He talked about it. And I want you to look at verse number six. He says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. He's talking about the law of sin and death. It says, so that we should serve in what? Newness of spirit. I told you, you're new in Christ Jesus. You're not the same person who you used to be. Newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Once again, once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we saw it last week. I'm not going to go to it today for the sake of time. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, old things are passed away. All things have become new. It's talking about spiritual things. Y'all still with me? In other words, because we have accepted Jesus, we are not spiritually dead or spiritually separated from God anymore. We are spiritually alive through Christ Jesus. So people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? They're still spiritually dead. Because the only way we can be spiritually alive is that we must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just coming to church is not good enough. The devil goes to church every Sunday. Y'all still with me? See, once you decided to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, there are a lot of things that happen in the spiritual world that many people are not aware of. You know, sometimes people just make the decision, well, you know what, I think I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to start back going to church. And that's a good thing. But there are a lot of things that happen in the spiritual world that people don't even know changed when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you now have a new address. You were bound for hell. There was no way to avoid it. You could not pass go and collect $200 like the game Monopoly. You were going straight to hell. So you were spiritually changed. By you accepting Jesus Christ, now you are spiritually alive. So Christians, by accepting Jesus Christ, it's a big deal. It's a bigger deal than some people think it is. They think that, well, I'm going to go to church and get my life together, you know, and serve God. Yes, that's part of it. But there's some spiritual things that happen. Satan had you in bondage. He had me in bondage. And he still have those people out there who don't know Jesus Christ in bondage. That's why you need to witness to those. You need to witness to those people. You need to tell them about Jesus. Tell them Jesus loved them so they could accept him as Lord and Savior. And they can be translated from the darkness into his marvelous light. Because they're still in spiritual darkness. They don't even realize it. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But they didn't have Jesus. Well, they couldn't accept Jesus back in the Old Testament because he had not come in the form that he came in the New Testament yet. Pastor, why do you say that? Well, he always existed. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John that there are three that bear witness of heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Word, and these three are one. So Jesus always existed, but his name wasn't Jesus. He was called the Word. Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with us. The Word was with God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. Have I lost anybody? Amen. See? So we have a new life in Christ Jesus. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. So once again, Paul said, listen, he said, what shall we say then, verse 7? Is the law sin? No, the law's not sin. The law just reveals sin to us. He says, the law sin? He said, God forbid. He said, nah. He said, I have not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment brought in me all manner of conscience. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, what he's saying is that hey, there's nothing wrong with the law. But he's saying that if it wasn't for the Old Testament law, I would have never known that I was sinning. I would have never known what sin is. Because once again, as I've said already, the Old Testament law, or the law of sin and death, revealed to us sin and death had control over them, over us, before we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But how many of you know it doesn't have control over us anymore? Why? Because Jesus delivered us from sin. We saw a scripture last week. I'm not going to go to it for the second time. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says that God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him or in him. In other words, when Jesus got crucified on the cross, you know, Jesus Christ, yeah, he was Jesus, but he represented the sin nature. So when Jesus got crucified, what was happening was that God was crucifying the sin nature through Jesus Christ. Do you remember there's a verse in the Bible when Jesus Christ was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them rascals to watch and pray, and they went to sleep while he was, you know, and he said, can't y'all just stay away for at least for an hour? Y'all remember that? Amen, amen, amen. But remember when Jesus said, he said, if there's any other way, that's what he said in so many words, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, God, this is what he said. I'm going to tell you exactly what the words say. He said, take this cup of suffering from me. And then he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Do y'all remember that? Amen. Well, let me tell you why he said that. First of all, we have to understand that God wants nothing to do with sin. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. I told you last week, that's why people died 2 weeks ago. First spiritual death, and now natural death. All because of sin. Y'all still with me? You know, when people die, people say, well, God took them. No, God ain't take nothing. Death is the enemy of God. Death is here because of sin. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, these are spiritual things. We need to think about those things. We can't just read it from something just in a book. We got to think about, what is this saying to me? Well, it's talking about going from spiritual death to spiritual life. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So the Bible says God made him to be sin. So what does that mean? How does that connect to when Jesus says, remove this cup of suffering from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What he was saying was this. God, is there any other way to save mankind? Is there any other way? But he said, nevertheless, your will be done. Because God, I said this already, wants nothing to do with sin. And the only way that Jesus would die on the cross is that he had to represent sin, because the Bible says he never sinned. But God made him to be sin. So when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and he said, God, why have thou forsaken me? In other words, when go back to what we said at the garden, nevertheless, not my will. He knew that by him being on the cross, representing the sin nature, he would be separated from the Father. He was separated from the Father. That's why he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Because he wasn't representing, he was Jesus. Y'all still with me? But God made him to be the sin nature. So when they crucified Jesus, they crucified the sin nature. So then when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, now sin hath no more dominion over us. Go to Romans chapter 6. Are you there yet? Y'all know I have to prove everything that I say. Let's start with verse 14. So you got to understand that it's more to your life than just coming to church. You've been born again. Look at verse number 6. Look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul is talking to Christians here. Just keep in mind, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to people who have not accepted Jesus. He is talking to Christians. He said, in verse number 14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. What law? The law of sin and death. He said, for you are not under the law. Now, don't get me wrong. The Old Testament is still good. He's not saying that the Old Testament is bad, because it revealed sin. Y'all still with me? He said, but for you are not under the law of sin and death. He's not talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about being controlled by sin and death. Okay? He said, but under what? Look at verse 14. But under what? Oh, don't worry about it. I'll read the whole thing. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Where that grace comes from? Well, God sent Jesus, right? And we are saved by what? Grace. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. We are saved by grace through faith. What? Faith. What faith got to do? He got a lot to do with it. Y'all still with me? See, everything ties in together. We are saved by grace through faith. In other words, by grace, we have to go through faith to be saved. Because that's a verse in the Bible we're going to look at later on. It says God has dealt to every man the measure of what? So you can be saved without faith. But once we hear the word and believe the word and receive the word and decided to do something about the word, we had made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God gave us enough faith to be moved from the darkness unto his marvelous light. I'll just say it that way. Otherwise, you got a new address. You're new. You're not the same person who you used to be. Satan wants us to think that we are, but we're not. So once again, you're still at Romans 6, right? The Bible says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? He said, I don't think so. He said, God forbid. He said, I don't think so. See, a lot of times people mess up. You know what they do? They blame the devil. I mean, there's a show on, you know, years ago, you know, with this guy, his first name was Flip. Ain't gonna mention his last name for the sake of his teaching. But he used to always say, the devil made me do it. And over the years, people just picked up that slogan. Well, the devil, the devil, the devil. No, many times we mess up because we choose to do it. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do right, even if they wanted to. But we can. Why? Because we have help as new creatures in Christ Jesus. But people choose to do things, and then they mess up, and they blame God. And they blame Satan. And guess what? The devil, he'll take credit for it. Saying you did, Satan did this to me. He said, I did. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He won't credit. Y'all still with me? That's why he got kicked out of heaven, because he wanted to be like the Most High God. So then the Bible says here, it says in verse number 16, it says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Did you hear that? Let me read that again a little slower. It says, know you not. Now, always accept the word of God as if it's talking directly to you. That helped me years ago. Years ago, I used to always read the Bible and think about, Johnny Lewis needs to hear this. No. Sally Sue should have been there this morning. No. You have to listen to the word as if it's talking to you, because if you do not, you're not going to be able to receive everything that is saying to you. Minister Holly, is it snowing outside? Yeah, okay, yeah. So now, when I call his name, it got his attention. Mr. Holly, so he knew something was coming. You heard me call his name, but it didn't bother you because I didn't call your name. Y'all still with me? But when he heard me call his name, now all of a sudden he's like, what? And then I just asked him a question. I know the answer to the question. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that when you read and study the word, if it's talking directly to you, you pay more attention to it. Don't worry, about 4 o'clock in the morning, y'all catch it. Y'all still with me? It says, verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself, so in other words, whoever you serve, to whoever you decide to serve or obey, his service you are to whom you obey. If I say I'm serving God, I'm obeying Satan, guess what? I'm serving Satan. Talk is cheap. And then he said, whether of sin unto death or of the obedience unto righteousness. We shouldn't be obeying sin. We should be obeying righteousness. The Bible says in verse 17, but God be thanked that you were, y'all still with me? You were the servants of what? Notice the Bible says you were. That means through Christ Jesus, you're not anymore. You were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. You are obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What doctrine? The doctrine of the glorious light of the gospel of Christ was revealed to you. And once you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? Now you have a different person or spirit that you serve. It should be God. Satan has no more dominion over you. And then the Bible tells us here, in verse 18, being then made free from sin. Made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. Christians, you don't have to serve sin anymore. You are free from sin. You know, if you think about someone who's been in prison for 15 years, and a man opened the door and said, you're free now, you can go. And they still stand at the door. You've been freed. You can go now. Sir, excuse me. You're free. Someone is going to think the man is crazy. Because freedom is better than bondage. Spiritual freedom is better than spiritual bondage. Y'all still with me? So by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have become free in righteousness. In other words, you did the right thing. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you did that, although you didn't see things happen in the spirit world, but the Holy Spirit stamped you with a stamp of approving, letting you know, letting Satan know that they don't belong to you anymore. Satan, now they are servants of God. You can't keep them in prison anymore, Satan. Now they are free through Christ Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. And then the Bible says here, look at verse 23. Oh, verse 20. It says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from what? Righteousness. Well, guess what? Now that you are servants of righteousness, you are free from the control of sin. And then the Bible tells us in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you know there's a difference between death and life? Life is good. Death is not. I'm talking about spiritual life and spiritual death. Tony, let me ask you a question. Do you want to live for the rest of this day? Or do you want to die? So even natural life is better than natural death. Unless you are a child of God. Unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you die, you haven't even started living yet. Because you have a life everlasting with God. Why? Because you're new. Because you've been made new. Are y'all still with me? You have been made new in Christ Jesus, and because of that, now death has no more dominion over you. Satan has no more dominion over you because you've been free from the law of sin and death. Not from the Old Testament, but just from what sin and death represents. But wait a minute. Because I told you that there was a second law. And that's where we are as Christians. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. And I told you earlier that that's what verse 4 is talking about. Go back to Romans chapter 8. The Bible tells us in verse 4, it says, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Look at the criteria. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I mentioned earlier, how is it that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us? Well, there's your answer. We must be led by the Spirit. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. If I call myself a Christian and I'm still doing the same things I did before I got saved, guess what? I am not allowing the law of righteousness to be fulfilled in me. Although I'm saved, like a lot of people, Christians in the world today, I'm freed, I'm delivered, we have made a decision to go back to where we were before God delivered us. And people say, well, once saved, always saved. That's one of the biggest lies out of the pits of hell. That's why I like that song by the artist. He said, I've been chained, healed, freed, delivered. No more chains. My past is over. That's why I like this song. Y'all still with me? It's called I Won't Go Back for those of you who don't know. Amen. You're not the same. And you have to see yourself as not being the same. Because if you do not see yourself as not being the same, you will not be able to have a more of a spiritual thirst for God in 2026. Are y'all still with me? You will not be able to. Amen. Let's keep reading here. The Bible says here in verse 4, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Notice the word Spirit is capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says here, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, I've already said that once we accepted Jesus Christ, now we have a new life. We should be living a life of light, the life of peace, a life of we should be spiritually minded. We should be spiritually minded, living a life of peace. Well, guess what? How can we do that? By living by faith, by following the Holy Spirit. Because once again, that righteousness that the Bible is talking about in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh and after the Spirit. Don't you know the Bible tells us that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith? Romans 1, verse 17, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, the only way that we will be able to experience the life of righteousness, okay, the life of righteousness is that we must live by faith. Not just any kind of faith, I'm talking about spiritual faith. Because I got faith, what kind do you have? I'm faithful, what does that mean? Everything with God is spiritual. That's why we engage in spiritual warfare. And we, as Christians, we must be spiritually minded. The new person in Christ, we must change the way we think. We have to be spiritually minded. People get saved and they still think the same way they did before they got saved. They think with a natural or carnal mindset. Look at what else the Bible says about this carnal mind here. The Bible says here, once again, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal minded is opposition, hostile or hostility. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Talk about the natural mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Why is that? Because there's a big difference between the natural and the spiritual. Are y'all still with me? Look what the Bible says here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God do what? Dwell where? In you. Well, the question is, do the Spirit of God dwell in you? Or do you know? Well, I'm here to tell you that if you are a child of the Most High God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Remember, I told you earlier that in the Old Testament, they couldn't do right if they wanted to. Why? Because that law did not give them the power to please God. Well, guess what? The law let me just read it again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ gives us power to please God. Once again, there's only one way to please God, and that's with what? Faith. So the Spirit of the life Okay, of the gospel of Christ, in other words, or the spirit of the life in Christ, by accepting Jesus Christ, already told us, we receive the measure of faith to get us from darkness into light. And with that measure of faith, once again, we were saved by grace through that faith. So guess what? Now we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing, based on the fact of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we have help to be able to please God, and that help comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us to walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I know I'm saying a whole lot. You can play it again on YouTube and play it slow. Y'all still with me? Once again, we've been changed. I want to go back up to verse number 7. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now what that means is that they who live like they lived before they got saved. It's not talking about your body. People say about this old flesh, this old flesh, this old flesh, it's nasty. No, it's not. It's, listen, that's the only one you got. You better take care of it. I told you when you talk about the Bible, talking about flesh, most of the time it's talking about a nature. The nature you had before you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The way you used to be. The old you. But now you're new in Christ Jesus. See? So if I'm not following the Holy Spirit, then I'm following the same spirit that I followed before I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, that's the spirit of Satan. In other words, that's why the Bible talks about the law of sin and death. If I'm not following the Holy Spirit, I'm following the spirit of sin and death. And you know who that is? Satan. I can read my Bible all I want. I can pray all I want. I can speak in tongues all I want. I can bring all the tithes to the storehouse all I want. But if I'm living according to the way I lived before I got saved, I'm not following the spirit of righteousness. I'm following the spirit of, I'm going to give you a new word. It's not in the dictionary, righteousness. If we've been freed from that, why do we want to go back to it? Bondage is not good. But once again, we have help. So that means that I have to change my mindset. I cannot think the way I did before I got saved. Because the Bible says right here, for the carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I want life and peace, I need to be spiritually minded. And then the Bible tells me that because the carnal mind is in opposition or in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So that means I need to do something about my mind. Well, what do I need to do? Well, I need to do what Romans 12 tells me to do. I need to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable or spiritual service. And how do I do that? Well, I'm just going to start cleaning the flesh better. No, no, no. I'm going to change the soap. No, no, no. You take 1,000 baths if you want to. That's not going to do anything for the spirit. The way to do it is that we must renew our mind. We can't be conformed to this world system anymore. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. What are you renewing it to? From the carnal mind to the spiritual mind. See, listen to this. Once again, Paul is talking to Christians here. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received a new spirit to line up with the Holy Spirit. But you still had the same, you got the same mind and you got the same body. So we have to do something with the mind. Our mind didn't change in the new birth. You know, it changed enough for us to accept Jesus, to be smart enough to accept him. But now we have to renew the mind. We have to do something. We got to get it online. We got to renew it from being naturally focused to spiritually focused. But Christians, we are not able to do it on our own. We need help. Well, Pastor, who's going to help me do it? The Holy Spirit. See, many people forget about him. He's the one that Jesus sent back to lead us and guide us into all truth. We need help from the Holy Spirit. I mean, we heard the word of God. We accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God gave us enough faith to go by grace, he gave us enough faith to accept Jesus, to be moved from darkness to light. And not only that, Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit to help us to not go back to where we were, to help us to continue to move forward in righteousness. So we have all the help that we need. But we must follow that help. Because the Bible tells us, once again, it says, so then they that are the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Once again, the question is, if the spirit dwell in you, well, does the spirit dwell in you? Well, Pastor Ron told me that he did. Well, I can't go by what Pastor Ron said. What did the word of God say? Well, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's find out if he dwells in you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Once again, I'm trying to help you to understand that you're new. You're not the same. You can't fall to Satan's tricks like we did in the past. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, keep your finger right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to go over to John chapter 14. But keep your fingers right there. Stay right there. Put one finger in 1 Corinthians. But I want you to turn to John 14 if you can. I want you to turn to John 14 if you can. Amen. John 14. Because Jesus said some things, you know, before he was crucified on the cross to his disciples who thought, you know, that they were going to be miserable after Jesus left them. And he wanted to let them know that, no, you're going to be okay. He said, because I'm going to send back the Comforter. Are we in John 14? And look at what Jesus said. He's talking about him leaving. He says in verse 14, he said in chapter 14, verse 14. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandment. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide with you. How, for how long? Forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. He said, even the Spirit of truth. Talking about the Holy Spirit. That means there's a spirit out there that lies all the time. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, Jesus talking about himself, and shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is before he got crucified. He said, no, you're not going to be by yourself. Yes, I'm getting ready to be crucified. I'm getting ready to fulfill my mission that God sent me on earth to do. He said, but you know, you can still ask anything in my name. You're not going to be by yourself, because I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, back. And he says, the Spirit of truth, he said, the world can't receive him. Well, why is it that the world can't receive the Holy Spirit? Why is it that the world can't receive it? Well, let me tell you why the world can't receive him. When the Bible says the world can't receive him, the Bible's talking about people who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are worldly. The Bible says, as far as Christians, although we are in the world, we are not of the world. So our citizenship is in heaven. Y'all still with me? Amen. So, but the reason why the people, the world, you know, the people people in the world are people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The reason why they can't accept the Holy Spirit is because first they have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then they can't receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm the way. Everything goes through Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and end. So everything has to go through Jesus. You went through Jesus. That's why you are new in Christ. That's why Satan attacks you more now than he did before you accepted Jesus. Because before you accepted Jesus, he didn't have to attack you because he already had you. But now he's trying to separate, get you to separate from your faith in God. That's why faith is so important. Because he knows that if he can get you separated from your faith in God, he knows that he's got you. And a lot of people fall by the wayside. Why? Because they do not build on the measure of faith that God gave to them. That's what the Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't say do it one day. It doesn't say just do it on Monday. No, it's a lifestyle. Y'all still with me? So Jesus said the world cannot receive him. He said neither knoweth him. He said, but you know him. In other words, Jesus said, because you know me. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So if Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be in me, and the Bible says that God cannot lie, then that means that Jesus must be telling the truth. And 1 Corinthians verifies that Jesus is telling the truth. Don't you go take your other finger and flip it back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm teaching this at the beginning of the year, to remind us that you're not the same. You do not have to fall for Satan's old tactics that we fell for in the past. You have the victory over sin and death. You have the victory over Jesus. Wait, Pastor Ron, not Jesus. You have the victory over Satan through Christ Jesus. Are you at chapter 6? I want you to look at verse number 16. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinthians. They were acting up, and somebody told him about what they were doing, and he wrote them a letter to get them straight. That's what it is. It's an epistle. It's a letter. And look what he said in verse 16. He says, what? In other words, whatever it was, somebody said to him, or they wrote to him, he didn't like that. He's like, what you mean? What? He said, what? He said, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one what? Spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication, he's sinning against his own body. And then he said again, what? Verse 19. He said, know you not that your body is the temple of, cast with the friendly ghost. Is that what he says? He's talking to Christians. You are, if you accepted Jesus Christ, that's you. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is God in you from the outside. Y'all see that? Well, you don't, because it's not in there. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is representing Jesus in you. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? The Bible says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. In other words, you belong to God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you said, God, I can't do it anymore. I surrender my life to you. I give my life to you. Accept me as your Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, I shall be saved. God, come into my life and make me a Christian. And guess what? Because of your sincerity, that's exactly what he did. And that's where all those things that happened in the spiritual world that you could not see with the natural eye, all of those things took place. You were transferred, you were moved out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In other words, you were made new. You were made new. All things have become new. Old things are passed away. In other words, you got a chance to start all over again. Once again, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And once you're born again, you become new. Think about people when they have babies. Oh, you know, so-and-so got a newborn baby. Did you see, what's the name? Newborn baby? Guess what? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a baby again. A newborn baby. Spiritually, I'm talking. And when a baby is born in the natural, the baby have to be taught how to do certain things. Well, it's no different from a spiritual baby when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now you need to be taught. And that's why people need to come to the Word to hear the Word of God. Spiritually minded. I have to follow the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will help me. He will help me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 since you're already there. You're already there. No, you're already there. Y'all still with me? And what the Bible says here in verse number 16, it says, know you not that you are the temple of God? Know the Bible says, you are the temple. If you're a Christian, you're a temple. When you see this all Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You should be telling me he's welcome in your temple. Not just the church building. This is a building. He's welcome in the temple. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. The atmosphere of your temple. The church is well, but the temple. Your glory, God, is what my heart longs for. The heart and spirit is interchangeable. You see the heart in the Bible last time, it's talking about your spirit. To be overcome by your presence. In other words, I want all of you, God. I have a more of a greater spiritual thirst for you, God. I want more of you. I mean, God will answer your prayer. But we can't let that old nature get in the way. Our focus is not on the past, serving the past, but our focus is on serving righteousness. In other words, pleasing God. And I can't please God without faith. Y'all still with me? You are the temple of the Holy of God. The Bible says in verse 17, of you, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are you? If you are the temple of God, that means that you are holy. That word holy means that you've been set apart. You're not the same person who you used to be. Christians, you have to know that for yourself. It's not just a Sunday morning good church message. You have to take this stuff in. You have to know who you are. Because if the more that you know who you are, the less Satan's going to be able to trick you and cause you to get so depressed that you stay in bed for a whole week. No, you need to get up on your feet. Satan has already been defeated. Well, I got to go and I just need people. No, you need God. Jesus has already given you the victory. Now you are not a servant of sin, you are a servant of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit leads us through the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who's with you? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit. He's with you. Even in tough times, he's with you to help us. But we don't use him enough. We want to call somebody. We want to tell this person. I got to tell. It's all right to talk to people. The Bible said we should encourage one another. It's all right to talk to people. It's okay. People who can help you. Not people who are going to put your business on CNN. Y'all still with me? But the Bible tells us that we got to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can please God. That's the only way that we could not be like the people were in the Old Testament when they were spiritually separated from God. We have help to help us to do the right thing. And that help is the Holy Spirit. We have help to help us to continue to have a greater spiritual thirst for God in 2026, and that's by way of the Holy Spirit. Because people get complacent sometimes. Well, I'm not thirsty for God anymore. I'm just going to go back and just say, no, we can't afford to do that. We got to stay thirsty for him. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We got to change our mindset. We got to start being spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. We got to operate in the spirit of faith. I can't just say I have faith. Operate in the spirit of faith, because the Bible tells me in Romans 12:4 that God has dealt to every Christian the measure of faith, and now I need to build on the faith. How do I build on the faith? By hearing the word, by doing what the word says, by following the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, who will always lead us to the truth, because people lie all the time. Your faith should totally be in God, not the apostle, not the pastor, not the evangelist, not the teacher, which one, not the prophet, in God. Now, God has given them to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. So, yeah, you can go to them, you talk with them. But God has to be your number one source. And if they're not talking what the word is talking, then you need to go somewhere else. Because just because someone put on a suit and have a tie on and a bald head, that doesn't mean that. Guess what? They got to face Jesus one day too. Just because someone can speak in tongues and fall out in church and all that don't mean that. Anybody can do that. People fall out just walking in the street. We're standing to your feet. We have to change our mindset. Oh, y'all want to stay here for another hour? Okay, turn with me, please. No, go and stand to your feet. We have to change. We have to become spiritually minded. And the only way we're going to become spiritually minded is that we have to spend more time in God's word. We have to spend more time in the word. We must make a decision. We must convince our own selves. Because don't you know a lot of times we get in our own way? We must convince our own selves that, hey, I'm not the same person who I used to be. Well, you look like it. Well, I don't go by looks. The Bible tells me to walk by faith, not by sight. So I don't know what you see. But I'm changed. See, Jesus had changed, right? He went back to his hometown. They said, isn't that Mary's boy? The Bible said he couldn't do much work in his hometown because they looked at him as being Mary's little boy. They look at you as being whoever, boy or little girl you were years ago, or how you were before you accepted Jesus. They still look at, some people look at you like that. Now they think they're all holy rolling now. Yeah, I am holy rolling now. I'm not the same person who I used to be. So you got to speak about yourself with confidence.